I have really good news for you today. Who could use some good news? If you've got a Bible, would you turn in it with me to Psalm 84? Psalm 84. So this series entitled Hidden Blessings began as a series on the Beatitudes and the several, either 8 or 9, depending on how you count, that Jesus gave us during the Sermon on the Mount. And they come to find out that the Beatitudes were not something that just began with Jesus, but there are many of them in the Old Testament, and many of them are in the Psalms. The Psalm I want to read today is Psalm 84, and there are 3 Beatitudes in it. And so this particular Psalm is so powerful. I've been meditating on it for about 2 weeks now. I almost used it last week as a backdrop for all of those great stories from our mission trip and just decided to let it be its own message. But Psalm 84 is it's a pilgrimage psalm. It's a psalm that for many reasons, and nobody agrees about when these are written, but in my research, I place it somewhere around the time of King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah. And so several of the themes that were prominent when you hear these in the Psalms, you can put them right in the same era, is they sang a lot of songs about the temple. And so the temple was up and running. So this was long after Solomon's time and before it was destroyed by the Babylonians. So there's kind of a window. But when people would go up to the temple in Jerusalem to pray, now, while the northern kingdom was still going, they also had altars in Bethel and Dan where they would worship these golden calves. And so we know that that's been done away with because now everybody is coming down to Jerusalem. They also sang songs about Zion, which is the spiritual name of the city of Jerusalem, which was like a safe haven for all 12 tribes. And then they would sing songs in support of King Hezekiah, and they would call him the Lord's anointed. A lot of those David stories were in support of him too, but they were celebrating the fact that they were living at peace because the anointed king was on his throne, and because Jerusalem was a safe haven, and because they could go and visit the Lord in the temple anytime they wanted. And so we have Psalm 84. And I'll stop and maybe make note of some of those Easter eggs and why I put it at that time. But just read it with me, would you? One of the reasons, by the way, too, that I put it in this season somewhere around in the 8th century B.C., is because of a specific title that it gives to the Lord. And also, it's written in iambic trimeter. That's a technical term. If you've ever studied poetry, iambic pentameter means it has 5 feet. Trimeter means it has 3. And not just 3 syllables. And so some of these things, when you translate poetry, it doesn't always translate. So I even spent enough time to even dissect it and find all the feet in the meter of this poem to try to hear where the phrases are and how they stick together and what the psalmist is saying about the Lord. And so you can kind of hear it if you know how to listen to it. The meter goes like this, da, 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 da. There's 3 feet to it, not just the syllables, but where the syllables are emphasized. And so it goes like this, and this is in Latin what the name of it is. It says, how lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. And so this is my own translation. It's similar to most of the other English ones, but none of them got it exactly right. King James gets this title, but this is a very specific title of the Lord, Yahweh Tzabaoth. It means he's the Lord of hosts. NIV just says, O Lord Almighty, completely misses it. But Yahweh Tzabaoth isn't used one time in the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of the Bible. But when you get to the prophetic time, like around Isaiah and everybody that came after him, it's used over 200 times. It's a title that means Yahweh is his name, but Lord of hosts, Yahweh Tzabaoth. So a tzaba is a host. It's an army. Sometimes it's translated army. Sometimes it could use it of the angel army, but not always. Sometimes it's used of the heavenly hosts, all of the stars in heaven. I think most specifically during Hezekiah's time, it was a title that meant not only is he in charge of the army, but he's in charge of all of the armies. He's in charge of all of the nations. He's in charge of everybody. He's the supreme commander. And he says, how lovely are your dwelling places. Not just the temple, but everything that's around it. O Lord of hosts. He says, my soul longs, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. So some think this is from the exile because the temple is gone. I think this is written by a priest who at some point in his life just absolutely fell in love with the presence of the Lord. I wonder if that's happened to you yet. Have you had that kind of encounter at one point in your life or any time during a worship service or during time alone with the Lord where you just said, Lord, there's something I get when I'm in your presence that I can't get anyplace else. Anybody had that experience? If that hasn't happened to you, I just pray that sometime it would. That at some point in your life, the Holy Spirit would just so overwhelm you that you just knew there's no place else that I'm ever going to find this kind of deep down satisfaction for my soul. And so the psalmist talks about longing for it. I even faint to be in the courts of the Lord. If I don't get there, it's like I've run out of water. I just need him in my life more than I need anything else. Anybody with me so far? You know, I'm just going to, this morning, there's not a whole lot that I have to share with you that's profound or original or unique. I just want to spend some time meditating on his word. Is that all right? So allow me just, if I can, just to lead you in a devotional about one of the most beautiful psalms in the Bible. The next part of it is a little bit hard to translate, but it says something like this. And even as the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may have her young, so am I near your altars. I added the so am I because it doesn't really make sense. I don't think he's talking about birds actually nesting in the altars. But he's saying just like that bird finally finds someplace where they're secure and where they're safe, where they think, here is where I can lay those eggs and have my young. He says, that's what I feel like when I come back into your altars, into your presence. I feel like finally, Lord, I found my safe place. I found that place I belong. And then he calls him, oh, Lord of hosts, my King and my God. And here's the first of the three Beatitudes. How blessed are those who dwell in your house. Say that with me. How blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Selah. There's a word in the Hebrew that nobody knows what it means, and that's what I love about it. It's Selah, but because it shows up most often in this era of the Psalms, it's kind of either a musical pause or like a rest in music or just a word that means, all right, just stop and think about what I just said. Stop and think about it. And so we just guess that that's the meanings because that's where it seems to show up. But there's just this word, Selah. How blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. And how many know that God doesn't just live in buildings? Wherever the Lord's dwelling place is, he dwells in our hearts. He goes with us when we leave this place. But he goes, blessed are those who spend time with the Lord, who spend time in his presence, who practice the presence of God on a daily basis because they are continually praising you. The second of the Beatitudes is in verse 5. He said, how blessed is the one whose strength is in you. Say that with me. How blessed is the one whose strength is in you. The ways are in his heart. Another hard one to translate it. It literally says he has highways in his heart. So the best thing I can say is it's like this internal map that always shows him which way to get back to the Lord. No matter how far astray he gets or whenever he gets lost, there's just an internal GPS that says you need to get back to the Lord. You need to come back to him. He has the highways in his heart. As they pass through the valley of weeping, or some translations say the valley of Baca, but Baca means weeping or tears. As they pass through the valley of weeping, they make it a wellspring. As the pools fill up with rain, they go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. During Isaiah's time is when that word became a big deal. Zion was more than just a city. It was this spiritual place where God's people could come and be protected and be safe. And so this is this psalm about people walking clear from the north like Jesus did when he was 12. And coming down to the temple courts to meet with the Lord and where they could be safe again. In verse 8, there's a bit of a prayer for the king. and it's a little bit in code if you know how to look for it. It says, "O Lord God of hosts," he changes the title just a little, "hear my prayer. Listen to me, O God of Jacob, Selah. Look on our shield, O God, and look on the face of your anointed one." Both, that's a parallelism, which is common to this era, where they both mean the same thing. Look upon our shield. And so they saw the king of Israel as a shield, a protector. Later on in the same psalm, God is called the sun and a shield. But he says, look upon our shield. He says, look upon the face of your anointed one. That word in Hebrew is the Mashiach. It's where later on it becomes the title Messiah, which is about Jesus. So all of this you could say is prophetically speaking about what Jesus is going to be in our life. For this psalmist, he's just saying, asking a prayer over the king that God has provided for them and anointed to be their protector. And then he says in verse 10, which is where the title comes from, say it with me, would you? "Better is one day in your courts than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked." We used to sing a song like that. In fact, I can think of at least six different worship songs that came from this psalm. But better is one day than a thousand. Than a thousand what? Than a thousand anything. Than a thousand any place else. Than a thousand blessings. Than anything else I could imagine. If I could have a thousand of it, one day with you. One day in your courts is better than a thousand I could get any place else. Anybody say amen to it? Say amen. And then the last part is in verse 11. He says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the one who trusts in you." Say that last line. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the one who trusts in you. And so now here we have three Beatitudes, which means from the Latin, things that make us blessed, that are just there. He says, how blessed are those who dwell in your house, how blessed are those whose strength is in you, and blessed are those who trust in you. And like the preacher says, just so happens that my message today falls easily into three pieces. There's three Beatitudes, and so now you know what my points are, right? The first one is about dwelling in the Lord. Not just being in church, although way to go. You know, this psalm is a little bit of celebration about coming to church, right? That's what we call it. Back in those days, the priests would go up to the temple. We don't have a temple we go to. We have a big steel building we go to. Spend time with the Lord. But it's not just that. But man, I determined years ago never to preach a sermon on how people should go to church more often, because it's useless. Why? Because the people that need to hear it aren't there. And then you're just beating up the people that got it right. Why would I do that, right? Why would I beat on you? You got up, brushed your teeth, came to church, got your kids ready. Way to go. Turn to somebody and give them a high five. Just say, way to be holy today. Don't go ahead. It's all right. Everybody needs encouragement from time to time. Way to be holy. You get, if this was Sunday school, you get an A+ and four golden stars. Just so you can take it home and rub it in the faces of the slackers that are back home, right? See what I got today? Four golden stars. You get three if you're watching on YouTube. No, I'm just kidding. You get four too. That counts. You're here. I can't see you, but I know you're there. Congratulations. You got it right. But why are you here? I know this. Maybe somebody forced you to be here. Or maybe for you, you've kind of fallen crazy in love with the presence of the Lord, just like the psalmist did. Just like this priest that says, you know, it's almost like I'm suffocating if I can't be in the presence of the Lord. I long to get back into his presence. Friends, I believe once you have experienced the presence of the Lord, there's no substitute. There's nothing that can take its place. And Psalm 63 is another one with the same sentiment. May have even been written by the same person. But he says, "Oh God, you are my God." Say it with me, will you? "Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." He said, how blessed are those who dwell in your house or dwell in your, he said, how lovely are your, what, your dwelling places. King James says your tabernacles, which is like a shepherd's tent. Wherever you stay, that's where I want to be. I just want to be in your presence. And if there's anything that cuts me off from your presence, I just feel like something is incomplete in me. You know, I've been asking the Lord, and I don't know if it's worn off yet. Do you remember COVID when they said we could only have 5 people or 10 people at a time? And it was just me preaching to a camera in the back of the room and a handful of people playing guitars and stuff like that. You remember those days when we couldn't get together? Has it worn off on you yet how special it is that we can actually meet face to face and look at each other? I could see your face. I had to be honest. I still feel a little bit naked sometimes. I walk into church and I say, oh no, where's my mask? Oh, I don't need one. You know, and I'm just thrilled to be able to get back, because there's something about just being together and worshiping together that we can't get anyplace else. You know, it dawned on me, if there was ever any notion in any preacher's or any pastor's heart that people come to their church because they are the greatest preacher on planet Earth, or because they have the greatest worship team anybody's ever seen, well, guess what? We have YouTube now. You didn't have to come and listen to me to find great preachers. There's great preachers way better than me on YouTube. You can find them on TV. We have an unlimited resource of preachers throughout history. A lot of the great preachers on there, they're not even alive anymore, but you can still go listen to them. So I know you're not just here to listen to me talk. We're here because we love to get together in the presence of the Lord. And I'm convinced that's one thing that we can't find a substitute for. We can't. You know, years ago when I was a youth pastor, I was intimidated by some of the big church youth pastors because they had huge budgets, and I was always at a small church with not much of a budget. You know, a lot of times I was having youth group in the pastor's living room, you know, with one old crusty guitar that I only knew 3.5 chords on. It was not, you know, there was no light show, no fog machines. There wasn't a big rec room and all this stuff, no dartboard. There was nothing to draw all of these kids. And I said, Lord, what do I got? And I just determined in my mind, if there's one thing, whatever you attract kids with, that's what they're going to be attracted to. Follow me on this. Because there are other places you can be entertained. There are other more entertaining places to be than where you are right now. There are other things. I heard a story early on. I read it in a book. And I've tried to retell it, and nobody ever gets it. But I'll try it on you. You want to hear it? It's a story about the farmer with the pigs, and he went out to go feed his pigs one morning. And he went out to go feed his pigs and called them and called them and called them, and they wouldn't come. And so he decided to use some psychology on them. He had read a book on psychology about Pavlov's dogs, and so he realized that you can condition animals. And so every morning he would just come out, and he'd put out all the slop into the pen and just take a stick and start banging it on the fence. And after a while, the pigs began to associate that noise with that there's food in the trough, is when they heard that knocking noise. And one morning, and it worked for a little while, and one morning the farmer came out and he saw his pigs running all over the yard, not answering to anything, and he couldn't figure out what was going on. And then he stopped and listened, and a family of woodpeckers had moved in next door. You got the story, right? My idea was, If I really want people to be attracted to Jesus and have a relationship with the Lord, I can't be selling them dartboards and Xboxes, and I can't be attracting them with all this other stuff. But there's one thing you can get when you come to church. We do it every time. We pray together and we preach the word. And there's something about the preaching of the word that I believe it's just, it's a community thing. It's a communal thing. This whole process, it's not just me doing this. It's me speaking the words and you receiving the words of the Lord. And there's something communal that happens, whether you're watching on YouTube or whether you're here. And it's something you can't get anyplace else. You know, Psalm 84, I found at least 3 interesting historical studies about Psalm 84. And one of them was about Thomas More. They called him St. Thomas More. He was the bishop of the English church, right about the time that King Henry VIII branched off from from the Catholic Church and started his own denomination called Anglicism, not because of theological reasons, that he wanted to divorce his first wife and be remarried, and the bishop wouldn't allow it, and so he branched off. And Thomas More was the head of the church in England at that time, and he refused to come to the wedding, and so King Henry VIII put him in jail, put him in the Tower of London to be executed. And amongst some of the things that he wrote while he was there, he wrote about what it would be like if we lived in a utopian society. And he had one thing with him, this little Psalter, this little book of the Psalms. And next to it, in Psalm 84, he wrote notes to himself about how his life was just like this. Namely, he said all he longed for was to be free from that prison so that he could go back and spend time in worship again. That's what he was longing for. These psalms have been around for 2,600 years, 28. And people have been deriving strength from it, because sooner or later, if we're going to be followers of Jesus, we have to fall in love with his presence and spending time with him. Once we experience the Lord, it really ruins us for the rest of the world. And I don't know if that's happened to you yet or if it's still just one of many options. Psalm 84 begins with, "Oh, how blessed." You remember I said that word is one word, ashrei. It's an exclamation. So ashrei is also the name of one of the prayers that Jewish people, at least in certain Orthodox circles, they pray this prayer twice every morning and once every afternoon. In fact, for an Orthodox Jew, they don't even eat until they've prayed. They get up and they pray the "Oh, how blessed." They get up and they pray, "How lovely are your dwelling places." And they pray this prayer over and over. The Bible says that Jesus, early in the morning, it says very early in the morning in Mark 1:35, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, he left the house, and he went off to a solitary place where he prayed. What did he pray? We don't have any record of it, but we know that his Bible was the Psalms and the prophets. So it very well could have been Psalm 84. "Oh, how blessed are your dwelling places. My soul just longs to be with you, Lord," because he knew how to spend time with his Father and in the presence of his Heavenly Father. Anybody say amen? I have to be honest, one of the reasons that I am compelled to do camp, I don't need to do camp for myself. I'm not directing a camp to get anything from it. I've already directed camps. I don't need to be in charge of anything else. I don't need more work. I would just as soon be on my boat this summer. But I really feel, honestly, like I owe a debt. I still feel like, even though I don't look like it on the outside, I'm still just a 10-year-old kid at camp. I'm still just a kid that some other people introduced him to the Lord, taught him how to worship, introduced him to a relationship with Jesus that changed my life. And I would love for somebody else to be directing it, but if nobody else does, I feel like I owe a huge debt that I need to repay. Is that there are still kids out there that need to experience the presence of the Lord in their own life. How many are with me so far? I remember being 12 years old at that moment in time that the Holy Spirit really became real to me, and coming home in my room, and we didn't have computers or games or anything like that, and just laying on my bed, singing songs to the Lord with my hands up in the air and just loving on Jesus. And it changed me. I came through high school and some of my friends were partying and drinking and doing drugs and running around, and I just couldn't. I'd get invited to these parties and I'd say, "Man, part of me really wants to say yes, but I can't." And I'd say, "Why not?" I said, "Because I've been ruined for that type of stuff. I've experienced the reality of Jesus in my life that I just know if I go there, I take him with me. And I know that's not a place he'd want to be." I don't know if that sounds crazy, friends, but once you really encounter the presence of the Lord, it'll wreck you. It'll ruin a lot of stuff from you, and not out of guilt or legalism or anything else. It'll just say, "Lord, I just know this. If I had a choice between anything else and you, I'm going to pick you, because you are that important in my life." Anybody say amen? So he says, "How blessed are those who dwell in your house." That's my takeaway. Dwell in your house isn't about a building, but it's about a relationship with the Lord. And the secondly, in verse 5, he says, how blessed is the one whose strength is in you. How many can say amen to the fact that the Lord gives us strength that's beyond what anything our circumstances can take away? He really is the one who is strong in our life when we're not strong. He helps us walk through things we never thought we could get through. You might be in that season today where you just barely made it here today. Way to go. You just barely made it because you've been saying to yourself even this last week, I don't know if I can go one more day. I don't know if I can make it any longer. You can. You can do it. Why? Because God is on your side. He's your strength. Psalm 46 is another one of the Lord of Hosts Psalms. And he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of Hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. How many know that the Lord of Hosts is with you? The second story I want to tell you about Psalm 84 happened in 1944. And so in the Netherlands, which we also call Holland, there was a Dutch resistance against the Nazi occupation. And finally, in retaliation, the Nazi army laid siege to a little town called Putten. On October 1st, 1944, they laid siege to the town and rounded up 602 men, almost the entire male population of this town. 602 men. They rounded them up and they put them on the march and they marched them off to the concentration camps. They got scattered all over in these horrible camps. And when the war was over, only 48 of those men returned back to Putten. But one of the great stories of it was, as those men were marching off, everybody that heard them singing the Psalms. They heard them singing the words of Psalm 84. The very song that we're reading. Lord, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. The Lord is my strength. Blessed is he. Blessed is the one whose strength is in you. And that song became a source of strength. Even now today, every year on October 2nd, there's a memorial gardens there with a statue made out of sandstone of a grieving mother lamenting the loss of their son. And every year they gather together in the town square and a choir sings the words of Psalm 84 in remembrance of those men from Putten. Friends, I'm here to tell you that the worst day with Jesus in your life is better than the best day without him. Whatever you're going through today, you cannot afford to go through it without the presence of the Lord in your life. He is a strength that's greater than anything else you can get. No doctor can prescribe anything stronger. He is the one that carries us when we don't think we can make it any further. He is the one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4. Nope, I didn't put it there, did I? He says in Philippians, what? Oh, good. Thank you guys for paying attention. Here it is. Say it with me, would you? He says, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I have learned to be both full and hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then comes the line that was on my mask the entire time during the COVID pandemic. I don't know if you ever saw the scripture that was on there, but I ordered it just special. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Will you say that again? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. One more time, so I know you mean it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I looked the word up, all things, in Greek. You know what it means? Everything. I can do all things, everything. In Spanish, it's todo, me for, todo lo puedo en Cristo que me fortalece. I can do absolutely everything because of Christ who strengthens me. You don't think you can make it? Yes, you can. Because God is on your side and he's in your life. You know, people were, would you imagine that we would have to spend 2 years being locked in our houses, not being able to go out or have camps, and sometimes not being able to go to restaurants? And I remember people said, I'm glad I didn't know it was going to be 2 years because I wouldn't have made it. I would have died of despair. But God had been preparing me. You know, several years back, I fell in a freak accident and fractured 2 vertebrae in my neck. It was a miracle that I'm walking, but at very least for about 6 months, for all but about five minutes a day, I was flat on my back in my bed. People don't realize that, but the sermons that I'd come and preach, that was the longest I was on my feet all week. And then I would go back to my bed and I would lay down, staring out at the same trees. Thank goodness I have trees out my window by my bed. But I'm just staring out at those trees. I was there just last week because I was a little bit sick from the mission trip, staring out at that same tree. And I said, Lord, I'm just so grateful you prepared me. People said, I don't think I can get it through a pandemic. I said, piece of cake. I can do that standing on my head. I've done a lot worse than that. You can get through amazing things. You really can. Some of you have been through things many times more horrible than what I have. Some of you are still experiencing chronic pain and are walking through issues. Some of you are watching on YouTube today because you're dealing with a heavy burden right now. I want you to know today, you can do it because of Christ who is in you. He will give you the strength even when you don't have the strength in and of yourself. How many are grateful for the word of the Lord today? Anybody? And the last thing is verse 12. O Lord of hosts, he ends with, how blessed is the one who trusts in you. And so trust is the opposite of being afraid. When I said, Lord God, if you're in my side, it's greater than anything. It's greater than all of the honors in my life. It's greater than anything that I could accomplish. Isaiah 26 uses this same word. Oh, man, I'm messing up with the button today. Where am I? I'm so grateful I have first service to practice. And second service will be perfect, and it won't even be recorded. So just use your imagination. Isaiah 26:3 says this. Will you read it with me? You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Who needs that verse today? Anybody? You know, the word of the Lord doesn't matter if you think I was preaching it at you. If it applies, grab a hold of it. He will keep in perfect peace those whose mind are steadfast, because they trust in you. The last story that I want to share about Psalm 84, it happened in about 1956. I don't know if anybody remembers who Alvin Barkley was. Anybody remember Alvin Barkley? He was our vice president. He was under Harry Truman from 1949 to 1953. He had been a senator for many years. I would show you a picture, but he just looks like all the other old white guys that were in the Senate back in those days. But he was a senator, and then he was vice president of the United States, man. The president gave him the Congressional Medal of Honor. And then he retired from that and was through being the vice president, and he's in his late 70s, and he decides to run for office again. He just says, you know, I don't think I'm done serving yet. And so he runs for office and is elected senator again. And people are kind of, his buddies are giving him a hard time because he used to be like the speaker and the head dude in the Senate. And now he's sitting down with all the freshman senators. And he didn't mind one bit. He goes, I don't mind. He got up to give a speech in 1956 at a college in the nearby area. It was kind of a mock convention. And in the middle of his speech, he quotes from what? He paraphrases Psalm 84:10. He says, I'm glad to sit in the back row, for I would rather be a servant in the house of the Lord than to sit in the seats of the mighty. And before he finishes that message, he has a heart attack and collapses and dies. Goes home to be with the Lord. Mark Hatfield, who was one of our senators, wrote his biography about what an amazing guy he was. But he had no fear till the very end. He was serving the Lord. He had no fear. Why? Because he knew. And once you know who your Lord is, you have nothing to fear. You have nothing to be afraid of. You can be okay whether you're sitting in the important seat or down with the freshmen again. It doesn't matter about being important, because it's just better to be a servant in the house of the Lord than to be rich and famous. Everybody say amen? And as long as we know who we are, we can get through anything. I want to show you a clip from this cute movie I saw years ago called Aquila and the Bee. B-E-E, it's about a spelling bee. And a young lady that grows up in a home where she's taught to value education. But before she's able to be successful at being who she's called to be, she has to overcome one thing, fear. Watch this scene for a second, then we're going to wrap up.
Come in, come in.
That's a very pretty lady. She
she a wife?
Listen. And you got very lucky. Come in, come in.
That's a very pretty lady.
Evidently, there's a very pretty lady on the street.
Listen, you got very lucky at the district.
I don't really know. I don't need that video.
So.
What in the...
You have to work 3 hours each morning, starting at 9. Can you handle it?
Well, I do have summer school, but Mr. Welch said I work with...
The competition at state level is much stronger, so if students... Come in, come in. Come in, come in.
That's a very pretty lady. That's a very pretty lady.
Listen, you got very... Come in, come in.
Ah, phooey. use your imagination. It's a great little scene. It's not everything. The word is really the star this morning, but it's just a clip about her, and she reads this message on Nelson Mandela. He says, you know, so many people think to themselves, you know, who am I to be brilliant? Who am I to be talented? Who am I to be fabulous? And then he just says, who are you not to be? Says each one of us manifests the glory of God in our own way, and when we step out with confidence, we give other people the permission to do so. And so then this mentor says to the little girl, he says, what does that say to you? And she goes, I think it means I'm not supposed to be afraid. He says, afraid of what? She says, afraid of me. Not afraid. I don't need to be afraid. Why? Because as long as the Lord is on my side, I have nothing to fear. Jesus said this to us. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. And I just tell you, one of my great privileges, and this just happened to me this last week. I was sitting with Mrs. McAtee, and she's been in and out of the hospital. And to just spend time with people like her who are spirit-filled believers that just know the Lord and have known him for a long time and have walked with him and is someday looking forward, hopefully in the future, but looking forward to being with her husband again. And I gotta tell you, it makes all the difference in the world. Young kids, you think, I'm really not sure if I believe in God or not. I'm not sure if this is all real. I'm not sure if I believe everything my parents did. I wish I could bring you with me to sit at the bedside with some of these believers that know the Lord. You know what the biggest difference is? No fear. They're not afraid. They're at peace in their hearts because they know where they're going and they know that Jesus loves them and they know that they're in his secure hands. And friends, when that's the case, you've got nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. Oh, how blessed are those who trust in you. Oh, how blessed. What a great hidden blessing it is to have that kind of trust. Amen. Would you pray with me this morning? Father God, Lord, I just thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you for the opportunity to come and just to fellowship, Lord God, and that you never leave us or forsake us. And today, Lord, I just pray that if there's even one that just needs your strength, even one that just needs to be able to trust in you, even one that just needs to know that they dwell with you, restore their faith today, Lord God. Give them new hope in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And friends, while nobody's looking around, just for a moment of privacy, if you're here in this place, and you know one of the things you need to do is just reconnect with the Lord, maybe to recommit to him. Maybe you've known him in the past, but you know it's just been one of those seasons where you've been just kind of walking away, and you know what you need more than anything is just to come back and to dwell in his house forever. Well, nobody's looking around, just for a moment of privacy. If that's you and you just want to make that invitation of the Lord into your heart today, Would you just look up at me for a moment? Is there anybody like that? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, Lord, we just give you praises. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. Friends, if you're able to, would you just stand to your feet with me for a moment and grab somebody's hand next to you? Feel free to sit if you need to, but let's just pray together. Would you just say this with me? Lord Jesus, come into my heart today. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me clean and write my name in the book of life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering today. Just praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. I love all of you so much. Have a wonderful day. Go in the grace of the Lord.